Welcome to I Feel Your Pain, where stories of loss meet sacred solidarity. A space for storytelling, testimony, lament, and healing. My name is Tina Norbury, a communication strategist by training, a grief navigator by lived experience. You find yourself here today because your pain has a name, a date, a memory that weighs more than you can handle alone. For me, it is the 2nd of August. This episode is The Body's Rebellion, my functional neurological disorder diagnosis. What happens when the grief you refuse to feel, your body decides to feel for you? In this raw and revealing season 2 premiere, I share the story of waking up completely paralyzed on the exact 1 year anniversary of my husband's death. This was the terrifying onset of functional neurological disorder, a condition where the body screams what the soul cannot say. Sometimes it's called or shortened to FND. We will explore how unprocessed trauma from losing very close people was buried under the relentless grind of running a business and how it manifests as a paralysis and brain fog. We will find a companion in King David, who also felt his body fail from grief. And we will offer solidarity and practical steps for anyone whose body is keeping a score of the pain. Season 2 is called The Wrestling, and there is no more physical a wrestle than the one I'm about to describe right now. It was on the 2nd of August. The date was seared into my soul exactly 1 year after I lost my husband. But to understand why my body finally shut down that day, you need to understand the avalanche of grief that had already fallen on me. It wasn't just one loss. It was a cascade. Let me walk you through a little timeline that takes my breath away. And it still does. Thinking about it still makes me stop right on my tracks. September 2020, I lost a dear friend. This woman I regarded as my sister and confidante. She died suddenly, and due to COVID restrictions, I was trapped. I was unable to travel to bury her. I was left with this agonizing, unresolved pain, unable to have closure for someone who had been there for me in good times and bad times. That really hurt. November 2020, I lost my mother's twin brother, a man who was more than an uncle. I was closer to him more than I was to my own mother. 2 weeks later, his daughter died. That one was like a little sister for me. I loved her like a little sister. That was another death there. October 2021, my elder sister was killed instantly in a car crash. August 2022, just barely 9 months after my sister's death, my husband died. November 2022. My very close friend's son, who was like a twin brother to my son, or who was like my own son, because I treated him like my own, he lost his battle to cancer after an 8-year battle. That was weak. That was just made my body weak. These are 6 devastating losses, 6 pillars of my world shattered in less than 2 years. My mind said, keep going, be strong. You have a business with 73 staff members. You have to function. You can't just listen to this grief. You can't grieve. There's no time. You don't have the luxury to grieve. So I numbed the pain with work. I became a ghost in my own life. I haunted the office, sometimes not leaving till 3 a.m. The blue light of my computer screen was a poor substitute for the warmth of the life and the people I had lost. My mind was saying, keep going, keep going. My body was listening to a different and deeper truth. It was keeping a score. My mind refused to acknowledge. On that day, I had taken time off because I had planned to go to the cemetery to put some flowers and just have a bit of time to go to my husband's grave. I was feeling okay when I got up, just a little exhausted and just not unwell, but just felt tired, more exhausted. But I managed to get up and go to the toilet. Then I decided, no, I'll go back to sleep for a little while. And then in the afternoon, we will go to the cemetery. I asked my daughter to wake me up just before midday so that we could prepare to go. It was strange because when she came to wake me up, I opened my eyes, but I could just feel as though something was wrong, but I just tried to get up. Nothing. My left side of the body was so heavy. No feeling on my leg. Toes. Arms. It was quite a strange feeling. Then I thought, oh my, am I having a stroke? And how am I supposed to explain to this child what's going on? A wave of sheer cold terror washed over me. I was trapped in my own body. The paramedics were called. I was rushed into hospital because they thought it was the onset of a stroke, later to be diagnosed as functional neurological disorder. The paralysis, the brain fog, they were the body's ultimate desperate protest. It had been carrying unprocessed weight for all the deaths, all that sorrow, all that love with no place to go. And just on that 2nd of August, the final crushing blow came. It staged a sit-down strike. My body was presenting the bill for the grief I thought I was powering through. I honestly thought I was dealing with grief very well, because I was still running a business, I was still going to work. In my head, I felt that I'm managing because I wasn't crying all the time, I was functioning, but the body had other plans. In the terrifying silence of that paralysis, when my mind was screaming, but my body was silent, I felt more alone than I ever had been. But then I was reminded of a scripture that felt like it had been written from my own hospital bed. That is Psalm 31, verse 9 to 10. I will read from the NIV. Be merciful to me, Lord, for I am in distress. My eyes grow weak with sorrow, my soul and body with grief. My life is consumed by anguish, and my years by groaning. My strength fails because of my affliction, and my bones grow weak. When I first read that part where it says, my eyes grow weak with sorrow, and my soul and body with grief, I broke down. Here was King David, a man after God's own heart, not just talking about a sad soul, but about a body that was sick from grief. The part where it says, my strength fails, my bones grow weak. This was divine validation for me, that God was not surprised by my functional neurological disorder. He understood it. He understands that the intimate, brutal connection between profound sorrow and physical collapse. This scripture for me was permission to stop seeing my body's rebellion as a personal failure or lack of faith, and to start seeing it as a cry for mercy that God was ready to hear. My physical suffering was not hidden from Him. He was there throughout with me. It really validated what I was going through. In solidarity, I will say, listen to your body's cry. If you are listening and your body is showing strange, unexplained symptoms, chronic pain, fatigue, dizziness, or something worse, just something that's strange to you, that's normal to you, and you find that doctors can't find a clear cause, please, I kindly ask you to hear me. You are not going crazy. The pain is real. There's nothing you're making up. It's not in your head. Here is what I learned in the aftermath of my diagnosis. I learned that you need to validate your body's signals. First and foremost, just believe what you're feeling. Your symptoms are not made up. You're not making it up. They are a report or a sign that something bigger is happening. They are a real physical manifestation of emotional overload. Your body is sending you a signal that it cannot continue under the current burden. It's communicating. Your body is saying, listen to me. Validate also that you have gone through a lot. Sometimes we minimize the complexity or the burdens we have gone through or the weight we are carrying. Acknowledge that I am going through a lot. In terms of care, FND or functional neurological disorder or any trauma-related illnesses are quite complex because they cannot be treated by physical medication, well, depending on the complexity of it. Because it's a neurological condition, it's not going to be treated by medication or physiotherapy as easy as that. It's when and until your body feels that it's no longer under threat. So there isn't a timeline that it might take this long. So you've got to really, I would say, look at seeking holistic care. Because for me, physiotherapy was all right, you know, for a certain extent, but then there were certain things I couldn't do. There were certain movements I couldn't do, and physiotherapists couldn't really do much because it was a neurological condition. So with that, I would say the movements you need to do need to be so gentle. You need to be patient with yourself because this is not healing. It is not about fixing your body. With functional neurological disorder, it's about building a relationship of trust with your own body. It's saying to your body, I hear you. I'm here. I'm listening now. So it's building that relationship of trust with your body till your body starts trusting you that you will listen to it. It's not as easy as just fixing a broken bone or something like that. It doesn't work like that. A physiotherapy will take longer than other people who've got a physical injury because it's not a physical injury, it's a neurological condition. Holistic care, I'd say look for specialists who are trauma trained or people who understand trauma-related illnesses. Those are the best people because most of the times, the ordinary doctors or general practitioners don't really understand much about functional neurological disorder. So you'll be hitting against a brick wall and getting very frustrated. And you might hear things like, well, you know, there's nothing we can do. Or you might be making it up. There are other people I've heard saying that for many years or for months and months, they almost thought the symptoms were not real. They almost thought it was a psychiatric thing when it was not. It's psychological it's neurological rather than psychological, rather than the psychological side, neurological rather than the psychiatric side where you've got a mental health problem. For me, what worked was hyperbaric oxygen therapy. I combined that with infrared therapy. It helped me a lot, not just with the physical side, but also with brain fog. I still continue up to now doing, but not as frequent with oxygen therapy. It's helped me a lot, but I'm not, now I just do it occasionally. I started off doing it 5 days a week. for quite a long time. Then I reduce it to 3 days a week. It takes time. It takes time. You've got to be very patient. You've got to surrender the timeline. Healing from this condition is not linear. Some days you will feel almost normal, and the next day you'll be back in bed. This does not mean you are back to square one. It means you are human. You are healing from a profound injury, emotional injury. Give yourself grace. I would also say redefine productivity. Rest is not laziness. It is a necessary part of healing. Allow yourself rest. It's okay to rest. The last one I want to say is, your body is not your enemy. It is a faithful witness, testifying to the pain you have endured. It is time to start listening to it. As we close, I leave you with three things. One, listen deeply to your pain. It is a language God understands. Number two, lead clearly through your grief, because your scars light paths for others. Number three, communicate with care, especially to the hurting soul in your mirror. Until next time, your pain is safe here.